Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the stanzas 4 and 6. From the land beyond the Jordan, I bemail my misery. From the foothills of Mount Hermon, O my God, I think of thee. And what follows, Psalter 416, the stanzas 4 and 6.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 27, the verses 33 through 50. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 27, the verses 33 through 50. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has brought us and our dear children up to thy house once more. On this day have been carried upon the wings of mercy. Thy blessings have been multiplied. And then thou requires thanksgiving, ah, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children what thou requires? May it please thee to grant unto us and our children what thou granteth in the realm of nature, where thou granteth the springtime, the singing of birds, and the budding of plants. And then we may also humbly ask thee for moisture for the thirsty earth. But, ah, Lord, grant such a rich outpouring of thy Spirit, a springtime in the midst of us and our children. And then in this evening hour, then by renewal in thy house, where thou wast promised thy special presence, then we may meet with thee. And, O Lord, wilt thou forbid that it shall be such a meeting as we have heard in this morning hour, where the end of that meeting, where it was mockery, and where it was ridicule. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. May those sires have come up, that have begged thee for a little token, even a little crumb, that have begged thee for a word, that have begged thee for salvation. Lord, we humbly ask thee that there may be a people in this evening. And then we also need to ask thee that thou will watch over us during the service, because there is but one step between us and death, but that there may be souls that may leave the sanctuary different than they have come, ah, Lord. May it be a meeting of true conversions, that sinners may be pricked in their heart, and that they may become astonishment filled with bewilderment, cannot explain it, but that they know that they have left thy house different than they have come. And may it also be for thy people, for seeking souls, those souls they have gathered many goodly pearls, but thou hast a people upon the earth that need the pearl of great price. Oh, may it then be a house of instruction, of encouragement, and of comfort for thy people, May it be a house of thanksgiving and of praise. Lord, do bless the means of grace, thy word, and the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. And wilt thou bless the labors in the church. Do continue to help the consistory. And by renewal, then we commend unto thee him who has been chosen to fulfill the office of elder and who was given liberty to accept, and when in the near future he hopes to join the consistory. Oh, may his eyes and his help be from thee alone, and may it be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee our Christian school. Wilt thou continue to grant traveling mercies, help instructors and students, also with the empty places in different classrooms, then thou wert speaking in a special way. Wilt thou help all those that labor therein. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, mission work, Bible translators, and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. The labors are manifold and the labors are few. May the number be increased, and also may it please thee to grant more teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto thee all the special needs, the temporal needs. They are manifold, and then by renewal, then we lay before thee all the mourning families. Oh, do uphold and comfort them. May the callings be sanctified. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, their residents, and those that may lovingly care for them. The infirmities only increase. And then the most important is that their soul is saved. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones, the handicapped daughter in the hospital with those that are near and dear unto her. May the means be blessed, the calling sanctified, all those under the physician's care in special ways taking treatments. Remember all the handicapped ones, those that struggle with the weakness of their mind. Oh, may their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee those that struggle with weariness, continual weariness and pain of the body, those that struggle with addictions and temptations, and those that are near unto them. Oh, do remember and bless the family circles. May thy place have a central word. And, oh, Lord, work so in the hearts of young and old by thy Spirit, by thy free and sovereign grace, that we may be found more to be a begging and a praying people in the solemn times in which we live, where thy judgments hang so low over the earth, where there is such a great departure from thy word and from thy institutions, and also the blood of this country that crieth unto the heavens for vengeance, the blood of the unborn slain, but also the mockery and the ridicule of thy holy word and of thy holy law, thy day desecrated, the seventh commandment trampled upon, O Lord. Do bind us and our children around the old truths and around the old ways. Grant repentance to turn from our evil and worldly ways. And we commend our country unto thee, where elections have been scheduled for this month. May it yet please thee to grant leaders that have learned to bow their knees and to open thy holy word, searching for thy holy will. And now, Lord, in this evening we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help, for the opening of thy word, but also for the opening of the hearts. May thy word go forth with power divine, wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, and that with a profound impression that we are but poor sinners, and it is undeserved, forfeited, sinned away, and wilt thou grant more the experience thereof, that we are so unworthy, and yet souls that cannot miss thee, and that may say with the disciples of old, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, where it may still be proclaimed that there is such a precious Savior for poor and lost sinners, O Lord. Dwell then richly in our midst in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed. Though day and night for help I plead. And what follows? Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 16, the question and answers 41 and 44. Question 41, why was he also buried? Answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Question 44, why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, had delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. Lord's Day 16, the question and answers 41 and 44 speak of the last two steps of the humiliation of Christ, with two thoughts. In the first place, Christ's burial, and secondly, Christ descending into hell. The last two steps of the humiliation of Christ, Christ's burial and Christ descending into hell. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the past Lord's days, when we speak of the states of the mediator, that speaks of the relationship to the justice of his Father. And then there are two possibilities, either guilty or acquitted. And in the state of his humiliation, not because of his own sins, he had none, and no original or no actual sin, but we have heard it some weeks ago, out of Isaiah 53, the verses 6 and 7, that he has laid, the Father has laid upon his Son, the sins of his church. And to that end, he is stood very guilty. Then you can remember, boys and girls, five steps in the state of his humiliation. And then we have tried to explain it to you in a simple way, as a stairs with steps, and that each step that goeth downwards. Then we shall hear in this evening hour that as we find the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fourth article of the 12 articles, that they are not in the order that they have taken place. And now our first thought, that is Christ's burial, related by the inspiration of the Spirit in all four Gospels. Why was he also buried? And then the instructor, they give a very short answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Then we can understand that there are many more proofs in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ has truly died. And we know what death is, young and old. That is the separation of body and soul. And then we read in the scriptures that after Christ has spoken the sixth crossword, and what a precious word that is for a guilty people that have tried so hard to pay their debt and find that it only increases. And then when it may be heard and when it may be embraced by faith, that the precious mediator has cried out, "It is finished." And nothing can be added, nothing need to be added, and nothing shall be added. And that the Father was satisfied with that payment. And then we have also heard it out of Matthew 27, that he was given, then he has commended his spirit unto his Father, and so he has died. Then there are more proofs where when the soldiers, because it was the Passover, the Sabbath day was drawn nigh, and then the Jews have asked whether the bodies could be buried. And so Pontius Pilate, and then he has sent a few soldiers, and then those soldiers, then they have broken the legs of both thieves. And oh, what an eternal difference. The one thief that was converted was taken into glory with his soul, and the other thief, that he has went to hell. And then when the soldiers have seen that Jesus has died already, then they took a spear and they pierced his side. And then John has written that out of that wound came blood and water, a sure token of his death. Oh, a fountain has been opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness, a blood for justification, and the water for sanctification. And then further, then we read of the burial, that it was not by enemies but by friends. Thus many proofs, and then to further silence the mouth of any enemies, then he was buried to surely prove that he had died. And then in this burial of Christ, then we see the Father's care for the honor of his Son, that he may receive an honorable burial, that he was not buried in a grave together with the other two, but that he was buried in a garden, an honorable burial. And then in that burial, the Lord has also magnified his wonderful grace, because then there were two night disciples. Do you know what night disciples are, congregation? That is a people that have tasted of the good things of the Lord, that have experienced how worthy the Lord is to be served, to be honored, to be glorified. That is a people that have been uncovered to themselves. That is a people on account of that love that is given to walk in the ways of the Lord. But that is a people that can have so many riddles, and they are souls that have no solution. and many times filled with the fear of man. Oh, then it has been fulfilled what I read in Isaiah 53, verse 8, with the rich in his death, and those 9 disciples, we would not expect it. Oh, we would expect it that it would have been Peter and the other disciples, but we read of 2 members of the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea, when in the morning they have gathered together, then that Joseph has not cast his vote, and he has not consented, but on account of the love of the Lord, and on account of love for the Master, then he has went boldly to Pontius Pilate, and asked for the body of Christ. And then he was given willingly to sacrifice a new tomb, which has been hewn out. Oh, when the Lord works, then we are willing to sacrifice for the Lord. And the more that may be experienced, the more sacrifice. And then he went to Golgotha. And then in the special providence of the Lord, we do not read that they have spoken to one another, but as Joseph of Arimathea has come to Golgotha's hill, then Nicodemus has come with 100 pounds of spices, and then they together have pulled those nails out of the cross. They have taken the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, wrapped him in linen, intermingled with those spices. And then we also read of those women, oh, before we read, that they have stood afar off. May the Lord grant in this season that those that stand afar off, that they may be brought nigh by the blood. And then they were given to bury the Lord Jesus Christ in that new tomb in a garden. In the Old Testament we read that the rich and the honorable, that they were buried in a garden. And although our instructors, that they speak of one reason, then there are many other reasons. Oh, then concerning the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, there he has fulfilled prophecies where we read that he would be buried, his death with the rich. He has fulfilled the types, Jonah in the belly of the fish, and then Christ burial, then with that burial, the sins of his people are buried with him. And then in the burial of Christ, oh, then he has sanctified the grave for his children. It is true. I read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, that also for the child of God, that death is the last enemy. But then a Paul may also be given to speak in the verses 55 through 57 concerning this thing, the victory, thanks be unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, then the grave for the true child of God, that may be the resting place where they may await the great day of the resurrection, when Christ their head shall appear on the clouds of heaven upon the great white throne, and their body and soul may be united, and so enter eternal glory, and there forever to praise the Lord. And then the scripture is also given the example, what must take place with our bodies at our death. Christ was buried. We think of the book of Genesis. Genesis 23, a whole chapter devoted to the funeral of Sarah. And when a people, departs from God's holy word, when a people reverts to heathendom, then also oftentimes they shall depart from burials, and we see it in our society that more and more people, they let their bodies be burned, cremation. But it is clearly not what we find in God's word. Then in the first place, the Lord has instituted burial. The second place, in the Bible, then there are spoken that of honorable burials. In the Bible, fire is an emblem of the justice of God. Think of Achan. He was first stoned, and then he was burned. And we also read in Amos 2 verse 1 that the king of Moab would be punished because he burned the bones of the kings of Edom. And when we speak of those things, then we may not approve of cremation in any way, becoming more difficult. We must show our empathy with visits, with a card, but not to attend a cremation service, because thereby we show or seemingly approve of what they are doing. Our second thought, Christ descending into hell. Question 44, why is there added, he descended into hell? History seems to tell us that the first time that this article is found together with a communion of saints, that it seemed to be the beginning of the 5th century. When we read the Nicene Creed, it speaks of the burial of Christ, but not the descending into hell. In the Athanasian Creed, we read of his descent into hell and not his burial. And how are we now to understand the article, the descending into hell? Others, they describe it to be in the state and dominion of death. And when we consider the 12 articles, and we consider the order, then for someone that is not knowledge of the doctrinal truths of the Word of God, then it could give the wrong impression. Then it could give the impression that Christ has died, that he was buried, and that he descended into hell. That matter has also been considered in the time of the Reformation, but they have left, they thought it was wisest, because in the time of Reformation, much has already changed. The 12 articles, in a certain sense, they had been in the Christian church for many centuries, and to that end, they thought wisest to leave it as it is, but to give the proper explanation. There have also been those that have tried to explain it, that those two articles, buried and descended into hell referred to the same thing, to the state of death. But we know that the 12 articles, that they are very concise and short, and then there would not be two articles that apply to the same matter. And then it is very clear, I think our boys and girls can even understand it, when we speak of the descending into hell, that that has not taken place after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot speak of the divinity descending into hell, because his divinity, that is omnipresent. And then boys and girls with his body, that is also not possible, because with the burial, then the body of Christ was laid in the grave. Concerning his soul, that is not possible, because with his death, then Christ has commended his soul to his Father. There was a separation of body and soul. Thus his soul was in heaven with his Father. Thus then it is clear that the descending of hell, that has taken place before his death. Also concerning that article, then errors have crept in the church. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Christ, that he has descended into hell. And then there was a limbus, a special place close to hell, where all the Old Testament saints have went to, where there was no pain and no bliss, and that Christ has went there to deliver those Old Testament saints. Martin Luther, oh, a dear child and servant of the Lord, who was used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord to deliver the church out of Roman bondage. Nevertheless, there were still errors. We must understand it. Martin Luther, so to say, was a first-generation reformer. John Calvin was born about 25 years later in 1509. And then John Calvin has received more light concerning the truth of God's holy word. And Martin Luther has declared that when Christ is resurrected, before he appeared unto his people, that he has went down into hell to declare his victory. But there is no ground, no foundation, and no text that refer to those matters. Why is there added, he descended into hell? And then the instructors have described it so, that my Lord Jesus Christ, how is it with us, congregation? My Lord Jesus Christ, has there come a need for that precious Savior to deliver us? Have we learned what it is to be bound in bondage? Have we learned what it is to be uncovered? Have we become exercised with the justice of God? Have we tried to save ourselves by our works? That is the way that the Lord teaches His people. Free and sovereign grace, everything of man excluded, a one-sided work, a merited and applied salvation. Has there come that need? Has there come that prayer, Lord, save me ere I die? Has He been revealed? Have we received the application? Oh, then each time by renewal, then we hear of the instructors that they have been clearly and deeply led concerning the things of the Lord. Oh, we have heard it not only to escape punishment, but to be received into favor. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And now the instructors are given to speak of that precious Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ, and the depths that He was willing to go to rescue His people, to pick them as brands out of the fire. Samuel Rutherford, in a letter, oh, he has written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that He has stooped so low, went so low, that He went to the bottom of hell to pick up His jewels, which the Father has promised Him in the Council of Peace upon the fulfillment of the work which His Father has laid upon His shoulders. And then the instructors, they have spoken profound words by His inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies. Do we oftentimes or sometimes, I hope oftentimes, that we do think of death? Ah, the Lord has spoken in special ways, called to examine ourselves. Christ, toward the end of the Sermon of the Mount, has spoken of two ways, two peoples, and two eternal destinations. When the Lord has spoken to our parents, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, was a threefold death, spiritual death, temporal death, and not saved, eternal death. And now Christ, oh, the instructor, by true saving faith, this answer, my Lord Jesus Christ, work in such a love and such a willingness be found, and for who makes the wonder the greater for a people that have turned their back upon the Lord in paradise, renewed their choice by their actual sins, their existence enmity against God, against His Son, and free in sovereign grace, that he was willing to leave his Father's throne, to assume our human nature, and to take the hell of his people upon him, that he was willing to descend so low, to experience all the instructor's solemn words, inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, if you are not saved, that shall be your eternal portion. Oh, in hell, the loss of all good, the company, the devils, cursers and mockers, inexpressible pain, the worm that dieth not. Had I done what I could, oh, in hell, this morning, we have heard of the meeting with Herod and the Lord Jesus Christ and people. It shall all come back. All those meetings with the Lord, his goodness, his blessings, sickness, the callings of death, but above all the meetings in the house of God, where the Lord has proffered peace and pardon, where the mediator has hung with outstretched arms with a call to repent and turn unto the Lord. But many excuses may be like a Felix, a more convenient season. Oh, it can come close almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian with an Agrippa, but never come as a poor sinner, an undone sinner, a hell-worthy sinner, ascribing that the Lord is just, and yet begging, Lord, is there now a way that I may escape that well-deserved punishment and be restored into favor? Oh, there is a people, when they think of these things on account of love to the Lord, and then to think, to have to curse such a good-doing God who has done nothing but good, Lord. Then it becomes their desire, oh, to say with the instructors, my Lord Jesus Christ. You remember those three words with an S, children? Do you remember from last week? A sacrifice, a substitute, and a surety. And now the instructors have written deep words that he was willing to take the death and the hell of his children upon him. And then they have even multiplied it out. They have not said that he has entered, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, greatly increased at the end of his life. Oh, see him then, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Father has given unto him that cup, filled with his wrath, see him then on the earth. His sweat has become as gray drops of blood. The psalmist has declared, I am a worm and no man. Oh, see him then on the cross. Can divide it into two parts. From 9 till 12 o'clock. But oh, those 3 hours. When the sun has refused to shine. When he has experienced what it is to be forsaken of his Father. Experienced the wrath of his Father. And where the prince of darkness, oh, has assaulted and attacked him, the instructors have stated, plunged, submerged, the love of the mediator for his people, O congregation, he may still be proclaimed a rich, a willing Savior for poor sinners. Oh, may there be more a repentance, a crying, and a turning. We have mentioned it in this morning. Ah, for a poor and needy people. He has never sent one away. Let us first sing. Psalter 148, the first 3 stanzas. Jehovah, to my prayer give ear, nor hide thee from my cry. Attend my sad complaint and hear my restless moan and sigh. And what follows? Psalter 148, the first 3 stanzas. Why is there added, he descended into hell? And that in my greatest temptations, and then it is clear in the answer which the instructors have stated concerning the descending into hell, and when they have mentioned inexpressible anguish, pains, but then they have also mentioned tears, because on the cross of Calvary, then a warfare has come to a head. That warfare was spoken of in Genesis 3 verse 15. In the mother promise, that warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And then on the cross of Calvary, then the devil united with all the powers of hell. Oh, already in Matthew 4, when Christ has begun his public ministry and he was led into the wilderness, then he was tempted of the devil for 40 days. And that has come to a head at the end. But then we read of an angel that strengthened. But on the cross of Calvary, when that warfare, when the devil with all the powers of hell have descended to try to destroy the Son of God, then we read of no angel that is strengthened. And that is now implied in our text words. Then the instructors have answered that in my greatest temptations, they have not spoken of trials. They can be deep. They can be heavy. But the instructors have spoken of my greatest temptations. And what are we now to understand by the greatest of temptations? Ah, when it seems that a soul is deserted, forsaken, forgotten, that in the midst of prayers and crying, when it seems no answer yet has brought relief, the greatest temptations, when the tempter comes, as he has done to the Son of God, if thou know truly art a child of God, how can it all be? Yet so many sins, so many doubts, so many riddles. Your way is so strange. Your way is so peculiar. Your way is so singular. When the doubts arise in the heart, and it can go deep, Pontius Pilate has asked, what is truth? Can he even have trouble with the atheist? Can that all go together? Questions concerning doctrinal truths. How can it be? Oh, the greatest temptations. when a people at times, when they can be brought nigh to despair, to give it all up, sin against the Holy Ghost, and indeed can go very deep. When we think of John Bunyan and his Pilgrim's Progress, then he has spoken very vividly of those greatest temptations. Oh, he has met Apollyon. And when Christian was given to declare, he was accused. But when Christian was given to speak of his prince, that he had a prince so willing and so able to forgive all his sins, then that Apollyon became so angry, then he declared that he would spill his soul, and he shot the darts as thick as hail, wounded to death. Seemed the end would come. The Lord has a people. There's a difference between an assaulting devil and a mocking devil. But Christian was rescued. Then further, then John Bunyan has spoken of the valley of the shadow of death, much deeper than that strife with Apollyon, speaking of darkness, the mouth of hell opened, a narrow little path, on the one side a deep ditch, on the other side a marshy bog, and that there were even voices that put blasphemy in his mind, how he was troubled, and on that way many snares and traps. In my greatest temptations, then John Bunyan has also written on that further way, the way was becoming difficult, and then they have taken a byway, and they have come on the property of giant despair, and they were put in Doubting Castle. And oh, that giant despair, he had a wife, suggested no food, must be bitten severely. And then there was a voice, make an end. Giant despair. But oh, the Lord, he is the King. He has purchased his people. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, they were beaten. They were there from Wednesday till Saturday night, but the Lord has upheld them. And then Saturday night realized that they had a key to unlock the door. Surely that points to the approaching of the Sabbath day. What a privilege and what a blessing. When the Lord may unriddle riddles in God's house, then it shall be a special meeting. And what a special meeting it may be when by an eye of faith the troubled child of God, tossed with tempest, uncomforted, many questions can be even times that blasphemous thoughts are put into their mind that they become so troubled and so desperate. But now the instructors, they may give the instruction that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pain, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all the sufferings, but especially on the cross, had delivered me from the anguish and torment of hell. Christ, help was laid upon one that is mighty, as I read in Psalm 89, verse 19. Christ is the victor. He is that sympathizing high priest, as we read in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16. Then through the merits of the greater David, he is slain, that hellish Goliath, it is true. The Philistines are still in the land, but the victory for the church lieth so sure through him that has loved him. And to that end, the church may declare we love him because he has loved us first, young and old. In this Lord's day, there is spoken of two matters. We have heard it from question 42 concerning the death of the true pilgrim, not only an abolishing of sin, that is the mark, because sin becomes the burden that becomes their grief, and a passage into eternal life. And then there is spoken of the anguish and torments of hell, young and old. Where is our journey to? Oh, what a solemn thing it is to be a human being. And are we sometimes shocked and amazed at ourselves? Not only the unconverted, but also people of God, that we can walk and live so easy. Oh, should there not be more concern? Because Christ has said in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose a soul, young and old? If it would in this week be now the appointed time, the appointed week, that the Lord would call for another meeting, a meeting before our Maker. Are we prepared? I read in Amos 4, verse 12, after five times with other judgment, and they turned not unto me. Then in verse 12, therefore, prepare to meet thy God. May it please the God of all grace, through that precious surety, to pour out the Spirit richly. Ah, that the Lord, in his house, in the inner chamber, will give those special meetings, because people shall it be well. Then we need to experience those meetings with our Maker before the end. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, and yet a few words to speak. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou graciously grant the application, and that the message be not be left on the bench, that it may be taken home, laid before thee, turned into meditation and fervent supplication. Ah, Lord, thou hast still left thy truth amongst us, and that for a purpose. May that purpose be richly realized. We may commence another week. Wilt thou remember the mothers with the children at home, the daytime, the night watches? Wilt thou remember on the way, at work, at school, those that are studying in institutions of higher learning? Wilt thou be a fiery wall round about them? O Lord, keep us under thy good care and thy kind protection. Keep us from an unexpected, and above all, from an unprepared death. Wilt thou remember on the coming Sabbath day? Wilt thou help and provide for the consistory? We commend unto thee the doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, all those that may have an active part in the service. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Dismiss us now in thy favor. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 2. My mouth shall sing for thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. And what follows, Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 2. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.